Now look at what happened in the Middle Ages when an Oriental religion, a Near Eastern religion, was brought in and imposed, and authorities, councils, committee meetings decided what people should think about the mystery of God. This finally blew up with Luther and so forth around 1530, the idea of individual conscience deciding on what your belief is to be. How can you believe something you don't believe? So there comes into our culture world, even in the religious sphere, this sense of individual integrity in terms of his own experience, his own ability to experience. And it's out of that that this creation of a human civilization rather than a divinely inspired one has come. Along with this comes the idea of a secular state. Not a state based on a concept of the laws of God, but a state based on human judgments, where anyone can worship God as he pleases, if he wants to worship God. I think I'm right when I say that Rhode Island was the first secular state in the history of humanity, founded by Roger Williams around 1633, something like that. From then on, this has become the ideal of the world. I was talking with a couple of Indian gentlemen only a couple of nights ago, and they were describing the problem in India when this idea of the secular state came in. The new India is a secular state. Well, I heard one of the strangest things. The notion is, I don't know whether they've improved it, but this is what these two gentlemen were saying, that the president and the high official in India, representing India, cannot have religious worship in their homes, because this would suggest that they didn't have a secular state. They didn't get the idea that the state is what is secular, not the individual. The president of the United States goes to church, yet in his government position, he is governing in terms of no particular religious idea. He's governing in terms of humanistic principles. This double system, they don't get there. The whole thing that we have in the Bible, which my little friend didn't understand, of the growth of a will on man's part. Of course, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it's under the power of God who has a will, but there is, as Buber used to say, a dialogue taking place in the Bible between God and his people. And in the Christian religion as well, there is this idea of a dialogue. But wherever you have the religious idea, east or west, you're going to have the idea of an overbearing authority. And this is the problem that is being faced this day, this minute, in our civilization. All this turmoil and trouble about religion, and I'm in touch with it enough to know that there's a lot going on. Great disturbances. These old ideas just are not holding. What I want to talk about next week is this problem that I've come to now. I'm going to want to say that as far as the ultimate mystery goes, I don't think one can go further than the truths of India when they say there's no name for it, there's no way to talk about it. But there's something rather dismal about the picture of people who say, well, because you can't talk about it, because you can't know it, then you can't do anything about human life except obey these laws that have come down. This problem of recognizing the mystery and at the same time living and developing in terms of human values that we've got to solve here. Well, it's hard to say. I don't want to anticipate what I want to say, but I do want to put this point in, that about the 12th and 13th centuries in Europe, the spiritual leadership began to depart from the church altogether. The great spiritual works are in the field of secular life, wonderful poetic creations, wonderful scientific daring. And the churches at that time dissociated themselves from this. They began killing people who differed from them on all fronts. Now, 700 years later, the clergy realizes the world has gone way ahead, and there is a spiritual principle at work in the lives of people that the church has lost touch with. Now there is this attempt, and it's a sincere attempt, and it's an attempt that I hope finds its achievement on the part of all of the clergies to get back in touch. But this can't be done if they're going finally to say that our doctrine, as we have taught it all this long time, is essentially correct. It can't be. So I want to leave you with this query, and I want to talk about it next time in specific detail. This contrast of the two worlds that I've tried to present tonight has reached an end. East and West are no longer two worlds. As a result of our Western traditions, we have broken all bounds. There are no horizons to isolate any people. Not even the Iron Curtain can do it. It is dissolving, it's eroding. Relationships are building up. And no one is going to be able to say, my religion is the one for the world. But we can say that there are many, many postures of humanity which somehow have to be worked into intercourse and interplay with each other in such a fashion that all can recognize, as I said last week, the divinity in his neighbor's face, and not say, it's just too bad, it doesn't look like mine. Thank you.